All right, nice to have you back with us on this Saturday. Should be a beautiful day for baseball today as the Giants try to go for their second in a row over the Washington Nationals. Joining us, former beat writer from the San Francisco Chronicle, a great baseball mind as well. And we love having him on the show, and that is Henry Shulman. Hank, how are you this morning?
I'm doing great, thank you. I just heard that commercial that Bill did for Lunardi's breakfast, and I just want to run out right now because I haven't eaten anything yet. So let's speed this up, huh? Okay.
All right, very quick. All right, we'll get your opinion.
I'm kidding.
I know that. We love having you on. Hey, Henry, I was thinking about you this morning. You've seen Giants baseball for so many years, and we've seen the 2010, the 14, you know, group, the 16 group, and all the teams. Look at this one. How does this one fit into that hierarchy? Because this one looks like a team that can be a winner.
Yeah, it really doesn't fit into the hierarchy at all. I mean, what we saw in 2010, 2012, and 2014 was we saw a core of talent that had sort of come up together and, of course, was sprinkled in with veterans that were acquired, you know, mostly through free agency and whatnot. You know, obviously, Tim Hudson was not you know, part of the core group, but you know, you had your core group of pitchers and hitters, you know, they sort of had their little mini dynasty for a while. This team is just it's really hard to characterize because they've won with some of the core players who have now gotten older, a bunch of veterans that brought in by Zaidi, a few homegrown players who are kind of new. I'm Duggar. When I say new, I just mean in the last few years. And all these guys, what we now call depth players. I guess depth players is another name for, you know, guys who maybe not be stars and whatnot. And that's what this team is right now. And it is amazing that they have continued to play this well and without having a really bad run of games. That the Dodgers and Padres, for instance, and all of the other contenders have had so far. Yeah, the Giants, I think they lost, what was it? Was it 6 of 9?
Yes.
Very recently. I mean, there's only so long you can play without losing some games to, you know, when you don't have Longoria, you don't have Belt, you don't have Posey, you know, and your pitching, your starting pitching depth is sort of like crept away. And they still managed to, you know, I mean, they still managed to beat the Diamondbacks up in that area. And, you know, then they, you know, they won their, you know, they now they've won two in a row again. It's really kind of amazing what they're doing.
Henry, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, Bill.
Logan Webb yesterday put a pitching performance on like he did before he got injured. He really threw the ball well. Great movement on his pitches. You know, the second half, they're going to have to depend on a couple other starters. Do you feel that he is going to be capable of jumping in and not getting injured again? Of course, we never know that.
Well, it's scary. You know, shoulders, I can't remember if it was a shoulder or elbow, but whichever it was, I think it was a shoulder, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, shoulders are trickier than elbows. I mean, with elbows, you know, you have the sprain, you either need the surgery, or you can try and pitch through it or whatnot. Shoulder is just one of those things where if you can't strengthen it up, as we saw with Rob Nen when he had very serious injury, you know, it could be career ending. Now Logan's is not anything like that. I mean, I don't know that he could have pitched like he did yesterday, but I'm always wary of shoulders, about when they could, you know, they could start to act up at any time. And I'm sure that a big part of what they did during his time away was strengthening whatever muscles were around whatever part of his shoulder was injured to take pressure off that. And, you know, we saw him, what he did for the, what was it, 40 pitches or something like that last night. Amazing. I mean, that 94-mile-an-hour two-seamer he threw that almost seemed to take a right turn when it got to the plate. Was just, I mean, you can't do that unless you have, you know more than anyone, Bill. You can't throw a pitch like that unless you're feeling, your arm is feeling really, really good. And we're just going to have to wait and see, like everybody else, how he looks when he extends it out to 60, which will probably be his next pitch count, and then 80, you know, just like you do at the last couple of weeks of spring training. But you're absolutely right. They're going to go out and look for starting pitching. Zaidi said that yesterday, but they're going to need a guy like Webb because you can't, you know, Zaidi always says, you know, you really want to start the season with 8 or 9 starting pitchers, and the Giants just don't have that right now.
Well, you know, it's funny. I listened to Farhan yesterday, and I still say that he loves his ball club, and he's not looking to break it up in any way. And unless you tell me they're not going to get in the playoffs, and they've got a tremendous lead if they ever needed that second wild card, they're 9 or 10 games up on Cincinnati in that regard, they really have enough pitching to get them there, and they have enough in the playoffs, really.
I don't believe that. Right now?
With the two aces. Why not?
Oh, no. I mean, yeah, you can win in the playoffs with just two really good pitchers at the front end of the rotation. That's absolutely true. Getting there is going to be the trick. Now, remember, too, let's just say for the state of argument that the two wild cards are going to come from the West again. Uh-huh. You want to do everything you possibly can not to have that one game playoff. Now, I realize the Giants were very successful in their two one-game playoffs that they played in 14 and 16. But remember, Bumgarner was pitching, at the front end of that. And Gausman is great, but right now he's not yet Bumgarner without that experience. And I still think they need a veteran arm or two for that rotation. And I really, really think that they need some more help for the back end of that bullpen. Rodgers and McGee have done a tremendous job, but these are high whip guys. These are guys who, they put base runners on. Rodgers is, it's a guy. Rodgers is a strange to me. He's a guy with an ERA and a whip that don't even kind of match because he's so good at getting out of trouble. But I think that they need to go out and need some help for the back end of that bullpen too, if they want to hold on and overtake the Dodgers for the division, which I think is a goal, not only because you're tired of seeing the Dodgers win this thing for 8 straight years, but you want to be able to go into the postseason and have a best of 5 series and not have it just depend on one game for your season's life.
Yeah, let me follow up with that, Bill. I agree with you, Henry. You want to win. I've said this on the show for the last few weeks. You want to win the division. You don't want to get into that one game, even though Darvish's back is hurting now, and we may not see Bauer for the rest of the year, and Buehler hasn't been perfect either. You don't want to get into a one-game playoff. You don't. And I agree with you 100%. The question for me is the bullpen. And they've sort of figured Rodgers out. The right-handers, that frisbee goes away from the right-handers. They take it into right field. He's a pitch-to-contact guy, so I think that is an area undoubtedly where I think they need some help and get McGee some help closing as well. Those two I'll give you. I think the starting staff is good enough. Let me throw one other question to you before we talk to Bill a little bit more, and that's Brandon Crawford. Henry, I was asked, probably in April, early May, who's the MVP of this team? And I said, Crawford. And this is when Posey was going wild and he was back and doing all that. I said, nope, it's Crawford. And he's still the MVP of the team. Henry, he is having a year. You've seen his whole career. How would you describe what has happened to Brandon Crawford night after night after night?
It's a renaissance. You know, his power numbers have been down a little bit. I mean, he's not crushing the home runs like he was earlier in the year, but it's remarkable. And I agree with you. I think he's the MVP of the team. I think sometimes when you talk about MVP of a team, you forget what the catcher's influence behind the plate is. And that's what makes Posey so valuable. So if you're having a debate between Posey and Crawford, you can see both sides of it. But on the other hand, Crawford has stayed healthy throughout the whole thing, and his defense has just been phenomenal. I mean, he's one of those guys who, for whatever reason, the defensive metrics, which I hate to begin with and I don't trust, had knocked him way down. And I don't care, metrics. I mean, now, even though the defensive metrics now love Brandon Crawford again, he is just as valuable there, if not more so, out there at shortstop than he is, at the plate. And it just makes you wonder about, if you have to, this would be a great debate actually for one of your shows in the future. Of all the veteran guys who are going to be leaving in the next 2 years, which, who have contracts expiring, Crawford, Belt, Posey, Longoria, if you had to pick one guy to come back next year, if they could only have one, which would it be? And right now, you know, to me, it's a toss-up between Posey and Crawford, but I'd have to edge a little bit toward Crawford.
I'm going to agree right there with you, Henry, and I'm sure Marty does too.
I do. I think he should. I think he's coming back, and,
yeah.
And they both will, but I agree with you. This guy has been the quarterback, and not only the defense that you just described, what about the guy's offense? He's going to hit more home runs than any shortstop his age in the history of the game.
Yeah, it's amazing what – I'm sorry, Bill. But I mean, it's amazing what a couple of adjustments can do. And also not just the adjustments, but having trust in young people who never played high-level baseball. Three hitting coaches who never played high-level baseball. They're telling you what you need to do based on what they've learned through kind of a new modern hitting approach. And all of these veteran guys, every single one of them, to various degrees, at the start of the Zaidi era, all said, you know what, we have nothing left to lose. Look what's happening to our career. So you got an idea, you tell me what you think we need to do. And all of them, to some degree, have improved at the plate because of that.
You know, Henry and Marty, I'm going to keep on that defensive side, and we're seeing Duggar playing better center field. We're seeing Solano, who made an error in the first inning, but he came up with two miraculous plays in those double plays yesterday. But we keep forgetting about Darren Ruff at first base. Here's a guy that picked about three or four balls that were skidded to him. He made the play on the bunt coming in. He is a valuable puzzle piece when you start thinking about this team. Henry, your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, he came up as an outfielder. So, you know, when he was in Philly, I believe he played a lot of outfield. It is rather remarkable. Now, the flip side of that is I don't know what's going on with Flores on the other side of the diamond. Now, I will say this. Flores was never meant to be an everyday third baseman. He's not even meant to be an everyday player. And third base is his weakest position. He was a middle infielder. He was a second baseman. So, you know, being forced to play out there every day because of the injury to Longoria, or most days, is not your strongest defensive alignment out there. But some of the throws he's making make you wonder if some of it is a little bit of, is getting to be mental at some point. Now, I need to see a lot more games before I would actually make any conclusions. But he's at least starting to look a little bit like the thing is creeping into his head here. And, I think if you're the Giants, you want to see him start making those crisper throws to first base. Mm-hmm. So Darren Ruff doesn't have to dig all those balls out of the dirt. And I think that, you know, one of the things that if they're fortunate enough to have Belton Longoria come back, both of them by, say, August 1st, you're going to actually better the defense that has been really pretty good this year on the infield, despite guys playing out of position.
Well, I think Flores are getting away with it. They worked a lot with him, Henry, in spring training, a lot, to get him comfortable at third base. But you're right, the throw that he skidded over there on a bounce, I don't know what that was. But they're getting away with it. He's not meant to be an everyday third baseman. There's no question about that. And at second base, Solano has slowed down so much, and he was just outstanding in the double plays with Crawford last night. But he has been a mystery at second base with the errors that he's come up with. So those are two spots in the infield that they're getting away with, but they're not strong spots. But I was thinking to myself, I said, you know, what is it about this team? What's the trademark? And I said, well, in the first inning, just about every game, the opposing pitcher gets to 28 or 30 pitches or 26 pitches.
No question.
It sets the tone for the game. And they'll do it today with Lester. They'll do it tomorrow with Eric Fetty. And this is what they do. And then the other thing I said, Henry, they don't chase. You can't make them go out of the strike zone, and especially at the top of the order. Those first couple of guys are 5 pitches, 6 pitches, 7 pitches. Then all of a sudden you got to deal with a Posey and a Crawford. Before you know it, you're at the number 6 spot.
Yeah, this is not a new concept in baseball. I mean, a lot of teams have been doing that for a long time. There have been times in baseball where, that saying, a walk's as good as a hit. And there's been a lot of teams that have rolled their eyes at that. And, I do think that hitters need to be ready to hit a strike in the strike zone at any count, whether it's 0-1, 1-0, you know, 3-0, whatever, hit fastballs at any time in the count. But yeah, I mean, pitchers just aren't good enough to consistently throw strikes anymore. They're just, I don't know what the numbers are from the time when Bill played or 20 years ago or whatnot, but, you know, the amount of pitches, that pitchers are throwing nowadays, the way they nibble around hitters, it's just something that seems to me it's unprecedented. And the teams that can take advantage of that and force high pitch counts are the ones that, you know, are the most successful. Now, you still need to be able – when you force a guy into a 3-1 count and he throws a fastball, which is not guaranteed anymore, by the way. There's no such thing as a fastball count anymore. You have to be ready for it. And there have been games, I think you've seen, guys, where, you know, the Giants have built that pitch count up, but they get into hitters' counts, and then they still can't get that base hit to knock runners in. Mm-hmm. And lately, I'd say the last couple of weeks or so, when they haven't had all of their best guys in the lineup, they've been a little you know, they've been subject to that a little bit. But then they have other games where, like yesterday, where they really come through in those situations. But in the long run, if you have a – this is Zaidi's whole thing. From the first day he came in as president of baseball operations, I still remember the first press conference that he had. He said the number one thing that we have to do, that the Dodgers have done, that all the good teams have done, is control the strike zone from both sides of the ball. Mm-hmm. That means pitchers throwing strikes. That means hitters not swinging at anything but strikes. And it's easy to just say that, but he has built teams so far that have done exactly that. And this year you're seeing the fruits of it in the standings.
You know, Henry, today we're going to see John Lester. Maybe he'll retire at the end of the year. Of course, you know, some of his claims as three-time World Series champion, five-time All-Star, threw a no-hitter in 2008. A different style of pitcher now. He doesn't have that elevated fastball anymore. Now he develops everything around movement. What do you see out of him, you know, this year compared to when he was on fire years ago?
Yeah, exactly that. Now, he was never – I mean, he wasn't the guy with 97 to begin
right.
with. But it's really kind of funny, that just as an aside. There was a pitcher I was seeing the other day in a different game, and he was throwing 90 and 91 miles an hour. And now nowadays, 89 to 91, nowadays you're just so inured to guys hitting 96, 97. Starting pitchers, keeping it going through five – like Gausman, for instance, DeSclafani. You know, even Webb, when he was healthy and going six, seven innings, when you see a guy like that, it just seems odd now. You know, it just seems like, how is this guy getting away with it? But, you know, it's, I think what's going on now, and Lester's one of these guys too. When you learn how to command the strike zone with that kind of stuff, now you're throwing below bat speed, because bat speed nowadays is all geared toward heat. And if you throw, you know that phrase, you know, you're pitching below bat speed, it really can frustrate hitters a lot. And, you know, 20 years ago, that meant bats, you know, guys were throwing 91, 92 starters. And then if you had a guy who threw 86, 87, that was below bat speed. Well, now it's 97 and 91. And Lester has done a good job. And look, when you have pitched as long as he has, and don't forget, he almost became a Giant at one point when he went to Chicago. They would have had him for 5 or 6 years. When you can master that, it not only helps on the day that you pitch, but it can screw hitters up for the next day when you've got that guy who's throwing 97 miles an hour, because it provides such a different look. And the fact that he's still doing it after all these years is, you know, it's pretty phenomenal.
Well, you make a mistake at 88, 89, 90, 91 with the launch angle today. It's gone.
Yep.
And that's
yep.
the problem.
Yep.
You make a mistake at 97 or 98, it may be a pop-up. And that's what he's got to be careful about. Hey, Henry, it's great to have you on. I love it. You know that. And we appreciate you coming on, and so much more ahead of us in the second half. This is going to be a story, and I'm glad you could be part of it.
Thanks, Henry.
All right. Well, thanks a lot, Mari. Appreciate you having me on.
Oh, always. Okay, that is Hank Shulman on Twitter. A pleasure to have him on. Bill, we've got Eno Saris coming up next from The Athletic. You're going to talk some pitching with him. Eno always has a lot of interesting insights into the game. So Bill and Eno coming up right after this, KMBR 680, 104.5, the Sports Leader.